giveth this woman to be married to this man. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth. Amen. Grace be unto you and peace from God the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ, by the communion of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us sing to God's praise Psalm number 370. We will now read the Word of God, and we turn to the book of the Psalms, and we read Psalm 121. It is Psalm 121, a song of degrees. I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills. From whence cometh my help? My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. He will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is thy keeper. The Lord is thy shade upon thy right hand. The sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. He shall preserve thy soul. The Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in from this time forth and even forevermore. Amen. Let us now unite in prayer. Most holy and most merciful God, it is in the way of thy condescending providence that we may be here in thy house today. And we are here for a very special occasion, for a young man and a young woman will be united in the bond of holy wedlock. How great has been thy goodness to us all, and to them in particular. Thou hast kept us all again another day up to this very moment, and thou hast directed things in the life of these young people in such a way that thou hast been mindful of them from the beginning of their life. Thou hast given them a birth in a Christian home. They were loved by their parents, brothers and sisters, and they were brought up according to thy word. And it was in the way of thy good providence that they met one another, that they became acquainted. And it was also thy great goodness that there came a tie in their hearts that was the tie of love. And so they had the desire to become husband and wife, and that may take place now today. We pray, O gracious God, that their marriage may be richly blessed, that they may have a very good day today here in thy house and also later on. But all throughout their lives, as they travel together, that day by day and from week to week, and if thou dost spare from month to month and from year to year, thy rich favor may rest on them together, on their married life, and that they may experience together thy faithfulness, thy mercy, and all thy great goodness as thou dost reveal it in thy word, and in particular to thine own people. Lord, bless them with thy fear and with thy favor. We are all unworthy, but grant that we may look to that blessed Redeemer, the Savior from sin, that for his sake they and we may be blessed here in thy house. O Lord, make all things well, especially when we meditate upon thy sacred truth, that thy Holy Spirit may be our gracious guide, that he may teach us all that thou hast revealed in thy word, and that by his grace we may humble ourselves before thy holy majesty, that we may acknowledge our sinfulness and our sinnership, all our transgressions, and that by grace we may look to that gracious Lamb of God who took away the sin of the world by bearing it upon himself. Lord, bless all present here, in particular bride and bridegroom, their parents, brothers and sisters, and all other relatives. O Lord, grant thy favor from above. Multiply thy tender mercies unto us as we meditate upon thy sacred truth. Pardon all our sins. Grant us holiness of heart and life, for Jesus' sake. Amen. Dear bride and bridegroom, dear parents, other relatives, dear friends and beloved congregation, this is a very special day today, for a young man and a young woman will be united in holy wedlock. Here in God's house, before this company, and also before the Most High God, they make the sacred vows that they will always be faithful to one another, and that they will never part from one another, that they will be together as long as they may live. And on this special occasion, we like to direct your attention to the Word of God as we find it in Psalm 121. We'll take the first two verses. That is Psalm 121, the verses 1 and 2. I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills. From whence cometh my help? My help cometh from the Lord which made heaven and earth. Here in this psalm, we are reminded of certain travelers, pilgrims going to Jerusalem. Now we are all travelers, the bride and the bridegroom too, because we may compare our human life with a journey, and then everybody is like a traveler on that journey. Now the traveling for Jerina and Glenn began in their parental home. That's where life's journey began. And they both had a home in which they felt very happy. But the Lord has directed things in their life in such a way that they became acquainted with one another. And now they intend to build a future home. Now they will no longer travel in the first place with father and mother, brother and sisters, but now they will travel together. And that's quite a great occasion. Two people traveling together through life as husband and wife. In a certain sense, it means to leave your parental home. You have a certain dependency upon that home. That is your home. But now you're founding a new home. You will be traveling together, just like the pilgrims were traveling in Israel to the sacred city, to the holy city of Jerusalem. And as we meditate upon this word, we want to see in the first place that these people were traveling, these pilgrims, for a good purpose. So we speak about travelers for a good purpose, traveling together, that is, for a good purpose. In the second place, we see a question that these travelers have: from whence cometh our help? And in the third place, we see the answer of that question: our help cometh from the Lord who made heaven and earth. So first of all, these pilgrims were traveling for a good purpose. They were traveling together in great multitudes. Some came from Judea, from the country, traveled to Jerusalem. Others came from the north. They came from Galilee or Perea. And they made a very long journey. We wouldn't travel so far today by foot, but they did it all by foot. There were no automobiles, no modern means of transportation. It was a long journey. But they said, we have a good purpose in mind. We are traveling together, not just for nothing, but we are traveling for a great occasion. We make a very worthwhile journey. They were looking forward to it. They were looking to the direction of Jerusalem, and when they came close to Jerusalem, they were looking to the hills there. Now, why did they travel so far? For a good purpose. Now, some might travel far and say, we want to be sightseeing. And that's what we occasionally do too. We go to certain places and we want to see the beauty of nature. But these people had a greater purpose than just going sightseeing. They wanted to see the holy city, Jerusalem. And they were always talking about that. They were singing about it, about the beauty of Jerusalem. There was something in the traveling together. They said, we have to travel a long ways, many a mile, and we have to go up the high and steep hills and mountains. And you know how that is in Palestine. They had the warmth and the heat that we don't even know here. It was a wearisome journey. But they said, we don't mind this. We like to sacrifice. We like to do something because we have a great purpose in mind. We want to go to Jerusalem. And in these Psalms, around 121, 122, and so on, the psalmist is constantly speaking about Jerusalem. In Psalm 122, he says, it's a special city. It's compactly built together. It's a beautiful city. It's so worthwhile making this journey together and go to Jerusalem. Why was that such a great purpose? It was more than sightseeing. It was more than seeing the city of Jerusalem. Everything about Jerusalem they found so positive, they found so special. Why was it? Because the temple was there. Because the church was there. And for these two pilgrims, the most important thing in the world was the church, was Jerusalem, the holy city that was the temple. They said, nothing makes us more joyful, nothing makes us more happy than going to God's house, than going to church. And why? What did they find in God's house that was so special, that made that journey, that traveling so far, so worthwhile? Well, in God's house, they had tokens of God's presence. There was especially the ark, and the ark was witnessing to Christ, was witnessing of God's mercy. There in Jerusalem, these pilgrims had found special happiness, special joy. They say, our heart lies in Jerusalem, in the temple. And why in the temple? Well, in the temple they had found great treasures. They had found the secret of human happiness. These pilgrims knew in ancient times that if you really want to be happy, you need the Lord. You need God. You need a Savior. You need a mediator. You need a Christ. They realize that nothing in the world can make us happy if we have not God as our God, if we have not God as our Savior, if we have not God as our Father. And they found such rich treasures in the Lord Himself. So when they were a little weary, they thought about what they would find in Jerusalem, in the temple, in the church. And they encouraged one another. Jerusalem is a beautiful city. Jerusalem is the city where we find happiness and peace, for there is the Lord's house. There we find grace. There we find mercy. There we find the love of God for our own hearts. There we find tokens of God's favor. And they always had Jerusalem in mind. That was the great city to go to. The feast days were very precious to the true believers of the Old Testament dispensation. They liked to go. Traveling together. And as you travel together, you can never travel well without the Lord. It's a great blessing to travel together as husband and wife. It's a great mercy when you may begin a new home together. We say, what's greater in life than that we may have love for one another? But then we need to have the Lord on our side. Shall our wedding, shall our marriage, shall our life together be a life of prosperity? Shall we really be happy? Shall we really be joyful? Shall we be content? Shall we make the journey well? We need the God of Israel. We need the God that can give peace to our hearts. We need Him more than we need one another. We cannot do with one another without one another. We need each other. We are dependent upon one another, but we are far more dependent upon God. He gave us life. He kept us all throughout our life. He brought us to this day, and we cannot possibly travel well without Him. That is the first consideration that these pilgrims had, and this is the first consideration that you may and must have. It makes such a world of the difference how we travel through life, how we travel together. Are we doing it alone? Or do we have the Lord with us in His presence as our fellow traveler? Do we have the same love for God's house as these pilgrims had? That gives peace, that gives happiness. Then we may find treasures in God's house. The place in God's house is so precious. Let the journey then be long as it was for the pilgrims. They were traveling together for a good purpose. And if you may travel together, let it be the first purpose in your life. To seek that same God. To learn to know Him and learn to continue to know Him in His favor. life is at best but like a desert. If we have no God to rely on, if we have no Heavenly Father to flee to as a refuge, life, with all the good things we have, is yet far too difficult to make that journey alone. And especially when you travel together as husband and wife, will your journey be successful? Will your journey be blessed? Have your eye upon your Maker. Have your eye upon the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. Seek Him as your first. Seek Him as your last. Let Him be your all in all. The Israelites made the journey together and they asked the question, from whence cometh our help? They traveled so many a mile. They went across so many a hill. And the weather could be very warm. There were dangers too on the way. They had to be kept from harm and danger. They needed the strength. They needed to be kept from dangers that they saw, but also from unseen dangers. And they were asking on this journey to Jerusalem, from whence cometh our help? And so you may ask too, when you begin your wedding today, your marriage today, from whence cometh our help? We are dependent creatures. This is how God made us. In the Garden of Eden, when man was placed there, he was without sin. But not a more characteristic thing could be said about man than that he was a dependent creature. Man is so dependent. The Bible says it's not good for man to be alone. Adam needed a helpmeet even in the state of his innocency. We are dependent upon one another. We are dependent upon one another's love. We are dependent upon one another's care. We are dependent upon one another's faithfulness. We cannot do without one another. This is how the Lord made us. That our first concern should always be to realize our dependency upon our Maker, upon our God. God did not only make us dependent upon one another, but He made us foremost dependent upon Himself. So many people lose sight of that today altogether, even on a wedding day. Say, we'll make a go of it. We have accomplished this in life and we have accomplished that in life. We are dependent upon one another. We have this and we have that. But they neglect to realize that there is a far more sacred and a deep dependency upon God. And that's where prayer comes in. Day by day, we are dependent upon our Maker. We are dependent upon the One who made us. We are dependent upon His providential care. And even more so, we are dependent upon His grace. Many people want to be self-sufficient today, but there is no strength in that. They think so. But our strength lies in knowing our limitations, but also in knowing that we need help from above. So we cannot go through this journey, and we cannot even begin it without prayer. And if you ask the question today for Jurina and for Glenn, from whence cometh your help? That question needs an answer. And the pilgrims gave the answer, our help is a very special help. Our help is in the name of the Lord, a very great being, so great that He made the heavens and the earth. Then He can also take care of you. If He made the sun, the moon, and the stars, if He made all things in His wondrous providence, and if He takes care of all His creatures, then He can also take care of you. And if the question is asked to you today, what's your expectation from the future? Where lies your help? I hope and pray that your answer may be, we have no hope in the creature, but we have a higher hope. We look higher than this world. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth. We can never do without him. And the Lord is not pleased if we travel independently from him. Then everything is in his displeasure. When we begin to travel with the Lord, realizing human help and human power, human strength, human wisdom, human resources are not sufficient, that pleases the Lord. The Lord likes to see his creatures. He likes to see human beings live a life of prayer, a life on bended knees. He likes to see it too. When we begin a journey through life together, that we say, Lord, we thank thee for bringing us together. But we cannot begin this journey without thine aid, without thy grace. We must learn to look away from everything and look to the Lord himself. Lord, be thou our traveling companion. Be thou the first in our married life. Be thou the secret of our marriage. Be thou the strength of our marriage, the hope of our marriage. And then you may confess that you are but weak and sinful creatures of the dust who cannot do without him. You may confess, too, that you have no rights in and of yourselves, that everything is forfeit from our side. That is by reason of our sin. And even more so by reason of our sinfulness. You may look to the Lord and plead with him to be your merciful guide, to be your gracious Savior, to be your Lord and your Redeemer. Happiness, we all long for it. Happiness, we think about it so much when we are married, on the day of our marriage. It can only be found in the mercy of God. We can never find it in ourselves. We can never find it in our works. Even the best works of a believer are like filthy rags. We can only find it in the Lamb of God. The great secret of our lives must be found in Christ. When we have him with us as our companion, we like to travel according to his will. And we like to say, Lord, what wilt thou have us to do? And then we take his word as our compass, his word as our guide, and we seek constantly refuge in that word for understanding in the ways that lead unto life, the ways of salvation, the way of God's redeeming love. It is a great wonder that we may pray to God for help. We cannot do without him, but we can only pray to him for Christ's sake. The Lord can never bless you. Lord can never bless any of us apart from Christ. Only in Christ there is a refuge. And if you find yourself to be ignorant in the ways of grace and in the way you travel, ask for the guidance of God's Holy Spirit. For God's Holy Spirit is just like Christ. Just as wise. Just as loving. Just as holy, just as gracious. He can teach those who are unteachable. He can take us by the hand and show us our need of Christ, but also he can reveal to us the beauty of Christ. May your heart's desire be now, and let it constantly be, Lord, be thou present in our life. Be thou present with us in thy mercy. For there is one great impossibility in our lives. We cannot possibly do without thee. We need one another, but we need thee even more. May the Lord grant you much happiness and peace through his word, in Christ, and by his Holy Spirit. Amen. Congregation, let us now sing together Psalm number 360. Dearly beloved, we are here gathered in the presence of God to join this man and this woman in holy matrimony, to the end that you, Glenn Gerald Bauman and Jorina Drisi, who desire to have your marriage bond publicly confirmed here in the name of God before this church, may also be assured in your hearts of the certain assistance of God in your afflictions. Hear, therefore, from the word of God, how honorable the marriage state is, that it is an institution of God which is pleasing to him. In the first place, you are to know that God our Father, after he had created heaven and earth and all that in them is, made man in his own image and likeness, that he should have dominion over the beasts of the field, over the fish of the sea, and over the fowls of the air. And after he had created man, he said, "It is not good that man should be alone. I will make him an helpmeet for him." And the Lord caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept. And he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he a woman, and brought her unto the man. And Adam said, "This is now bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because he was taken out of man. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother, and shall cleave unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. Therefore ye are not a doubt, but that the marriage state is pleasing to the Lord, since he made unto Adam his wife, brought and gave her himself to him to be his wife, witnessing thereby that he doth as yet, as with his hand, bring unto every man his wife. For this reason the Lord Jesus Christ did also highly honor it with the presence, gifts, and miracles in Cana of Galilee, to show thereby that this holy state ought to be kept honorably by all, and that he will aid and protect married persons even when they are least deserving it. But that you may live godly in this state, you must know the reasons wherefore God has instituted the same. The first reason is that each faithfully assists the other in all things that belong to this life and a better. Secondly, that they bring up the children which the Lord shall give them in the true knowledge and fear of God to his glory and their salvation. Thirdly, that each of them, avoiding all uncleanness and evil lusts, may live with a good and quiet conscience. For to avoid fornication, let every man have his own wife, and every woman her own husband, insomuch that all who are come to their years and have not the gift of continence are bound by the command of God to enter into the marriage stage, with knowledge and consent of parents or guardians and friends, so that the temple of God, which is our body, may not be defiled. For whosoever defileth the temple of God, him shall God destroy. Next, you are to know how each is bound to behave respectively towards the other according to the word of God. First, you who are the bridegroom must know that God has set you to be the head of your wife, and that you, according to your ability, shall lead her with discretion, instructing, comforting, protecting her as the head rules the body, yea, as Christ is the head, wisdom, consolation, and assistance to his church. Besides, you are to love your wife as your own body. As Christ has loved his church, you shall not be bitter against her, but dwell with her as a man of understanding, giving honor to the wife as the weaker vessel, considering that ye are joint heirs of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. And since it is God's command that the man shall eat his bread in the sweat of his face, therefore you are to labor diligently and faithfully in the calling wherein God has set you, that you may maintain your household honestly and likewise have something to give to the poor. In like manner must you who are the bride know how you are to carry yourself towards your husband according to the word of God. You are to love you lawful husband, honor and fear him, as also to be obedient to him in all lawful things, as to your Lord, as the body is obedient to the head and the church to Christ. You shall not exercise any dominion over your husband, but be silent. For Adam was first created, and then Eve, to be an help to Adam. And after the fall, God said to Eve, and in her to all women, your will shall be subject to your husband. You shall not resist this ordinance of God, but be obedient to the word of God and follow the examples of godly women who trusted in God and were subject to their husband, as Sarah was obedient to Abraham, calling him her Lord. You shall also be an help to your husband in all good and lawful things, looking to your family and walking in all honesty and virtue without worldly pride, that you may give an example to others of modesty. Wherefore, you, Glenn Gerald Bauman, and you, Jorina Drisi, having now understood that God has instituted marriage and what he commands you therein, are you willing thus to behave yourselves in this holy state as you do here confess before this Christian assembly and desirous that you be confirmed in the same? I take you all who are met here to witness that there is brought no lawful impediment. Since then it is fit that you be furthered in this your work, the Lord God confirm your purpose, which he hath given you, and your beginning be in the name of the Lord who made heaven and earth. Glenn Gerald Bauman, do you acknowledge here before God and this His holy church that you have taken and do take to your lawful wife, Jorina Drisa, here present, promising her never to forsake her, to love her faithfully, to maintain her, as a faithful and pious husband is bound to do to his lawful wife, that you will live holily with her, keeping faith and truth to her in all things according to the Holy Gospel? Jorina Drisi, do you acknowledge here before God and this His holy church that you have taken and do take to your lawful husband, Glenn Gerald Bauman, here present, promising to be obedient to him, to serve and assist him, never to forsake him, to live holily with him, keeping faith and truth to him in all things, as a pious and faithful wife is bound to her lawful husband according to the Holy Gospel? Do you, Jorina Drisi, receive this ring as a token of your pledge to keep this covenant and to perform these vows? Do you, Glenn Gerald Bauman, receive this ring as a token of your pledge to keep this covenant and to perform these vows? The Father of all mercies, who of his grace has called you to this holy Almighty and eternal God, we thank Thee for the blessings that Thou hast given to Jerina and Glenn, and we pray that their married life together may be favored by Thyself. O Lord, be with them on the remainder of this day, but all throughout their life, and that their constant desire may be for Thyself, that Thou mayest be their help and their guide, that Thou mayest be the strength of their married life, that daily they may ask that question, from whence cometh our help? And that their answer may be, our help cometh from the Lord, who made heaven and earth. O Lord, bless them with spiritual blessings from above. Bless them in Christ Jesus and for His sake. We are most unworthy, but grant that together, and they too may plead the mercy that is in Thy beloved Son, that they may be guided by Thy Holy Spirit, so that their lives may not be in vain, but they may find joy and happiness and peace in believing. Lord, leave us not unto ourselves, but be Thou the great Shepherd, the great Savior of our lives, and be that in particular for these young friends. Bless them with the choicest of Thy blessings. Be with their parents, their brothers and sisters, and all their other loved ones. Lord, remember us. We have so great a need of Thyself. Oh, do Thou open the windows of heaven, that showers of blessings may come down for Jesus' sake. Amen. Hear now from the Gospel how firm the bond of marriage is described in Matthew 19:3-9. The Pharisees also came unto him, tempting him, and saying unto him, is it lawful for a man to put away his wife for every cause? And he answered and said unto them, have ye not read that he which made them at the beginning made them male and female, and said, for this cause shall a man leave father and mother, and shall cleave to his wife, and they twain shall be one flesh. Therefore they are no more twain, but one flesh. What therefore God hath joined together, let not man put asunder. They say unto him, why did Moses then command to give a writing of divorcement to put her away? He saith unto them, Moses, because of the hardness of your hearts, suffered you to put away your wives. But from the beginning it was not so. And I say unto you, whosoever shall put away his wife, except it be for fornication, and shall marry another, committeth adultery. And whoso marrieth her which is put away, doth commit adultery. Believe these words of Christ, and be certain and assured that your Lord God hath joined you together in this holy state. You are therefore to receive whatever befalls you therein with patience and thanksgiving, as from the hand of God, and thus all things will turn to your advantage and salvation. Amen. Let us now conclude with a prayer. Almighty God, Thou who dost manifest Thy goodness and wisdom in all Thy works and ordinances, and from the beginning hast said that it is not good that man be alone, and therefore hast created him a helpmeet to be with him, and ordained that they who were two should be one, and who dost also punish all impurity, we pray Thee, since Thou hast called and united these two persons in the holy state of marriage, that Thou wilt give them Thy Holy Spirit, so that they in true love and firm faith may live wholly according to Thy divine will, and resist all evil, wilt thou also bless them as thou hast blessed the believing fathers, thy friends and faithful servants, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, in order that, as co-heirs of the covenant which thou hast established with these fathers, may bring up their children, which thou wilt be pleased to give them, in the fear of the Lord, to the honor of thy holy name, to the edification of thy church, and to the extension of the holy gospel, hear us, Father of all mercy, for the sake of Jesus Christ, thy beloved Son, our Lord, in whose name we conclude our prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, now and forever. Amen. Hearken now to the promise of God from Psalm 128. Blessed is everyone that feareth the Lord, that walketh in his ways. For thou shalt eat the labor of thine hands. Happy shalt thou be, and it shall be well with thee. Thy wife shall be as a fruitful vine by thy sides of thine house, thy children like olive plants round about thy table. Behold, that thus shall the man be blessed that feareth the Lord. The Lord shall bless thee out of Zion, and thou shalt see the good of Jerusalem all the days of thy life. Yea, thou shalt see thy children, children, and peace upon Israel. The Lord our God replenish you with his grace, and grant that ye may long live together in all godliness and holiness. Amen. Let us now sing Psalter number 346. May the grace of Christ the Savior and the Father's boundless love with the Holy Spirit's favor rest on you. from above. Amen. Doxology 183:4. The wedding registers. get many presents today, wedding presents. But I have the privilege now, on behalf of the Free Reformed Church here of Dundas, to present you a wedding Bible. I know that you read the Bible daily, but keep reading it as the greatest book in your life. And when you read, never forget to pray for the special assistance of God's Holy Spirit. The Bible never speaks to us as it ought to without the grace of the Spirit of Christ Jesus. It makes a world of difference when we read it in our own wisdom. We have nothing for the heart. But when we may read the Bible, guided by God's Spirit, the Lord will show us, through the Word, our great need of the Savior. He will show us our sin and our sinnership. He will show us our unworthiness, our ill desert. But when He shows us that, He will also show us something of the riches that are in Christ Jesus. And these riches are revealed in the Word. And they are riches that can never fade away. May the Lord richly bless you through His Word and by the grace of His Holy Spirit, and that you may be happy through God's Word. Thank you. By virtue of the authority committed unto me by the Church of Christ and the law of this province of Ontario, I now pronounce you Glenn Gerald Bowman and Jurina Drisa, husband and wife, in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. What God hath joined together, let not man put asunder. Amen.
Loud enough?
I think so.
Yeah.